This communication does not constitute an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any securities. On April 27, 2015, Merchants Bankshares Incorporated announced the proposed acquisition of Nuvo Bank and Trust Company, headquartered in Springfield, Massachusetts, pursuant to an agreement and plan of merger dated as of April 27, 2015. Completion of the transaction is expected in the fourth quarter of 2015, subject to satisfaction of customary closing conditions, including the approval of Nuvo shareholders and receipt of required regulatory approvals. The proposed transaction will be submitted to the shareholders of Nuvo for their consideration at a special meeting later this year. Merchants will file with the Securities and Exchange Commission a registration statement on Form S-4 that will include a proxy statement of Nuvo, which will also constitute a prospectus of merchants. Investors and security holders are urged to read the registration statement and the proxy statement prospectus regarding the proposed merger when it becomes available, as well as the other documents filed with the SEC, because they will contain important information about the merger and the parties to the transaction. You may obtain a free copy of the proxy statement prospectus, when available, and other related documents filed by merchants with the SEC at the SEC's website at www.sec.gov. You will also be able to obtain a free copy of the proxy statement prospectus as well as other filings containing information about merchants on its website at www.mbvt.com. Copies of the proxy statement prospectus can be obtained without charge when available by directing a request to Merchants Bankshares Incorporated, 275 Kennedy Drive, P.O. Box 1009, South Burlington, Vermont, 05402, or to Nuvo Bank and Trust Company, 1500 Main Street, P.O. Box 15209, Springfield, Massachusetts, 01115-5209.
Good morning and welcome to the Merchant Bankshares second quarter 2015 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, you may press star, then two. Please note, this conference is being recorded. In this call, we will make forward-looking statements regarding future events, including our expectations regarding our previously announced proposed acquisition of Nuvo Bank and Trust Company. We caution you to consider the important risk factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements made on this call. These factors include, but are not limited to, the satisfaction of closing conditions, including approval of the transaction by Nuvo Bank shareholders and by bank regulatory authorities. Additional risk factors include those in our press releases dated April 27, 2015, and in our annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31, 2014. We caution you against unduly relying upon any forward-looking statements and disclaim any intent to update publicly any forward-looking statements, whether in response to new information, future events, or otherwise. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Michael Tuttle, President and Chief Executive Officer of Merchants Bankshares.
Thank you, Denise. Good morning, everybody. I appreciate you taking the time to join us today. With me here today are the President of Merchants Bank, President and CEO of Merchants Bank, Jeff Hessling, who those of you who have been on the call with us before know, and our CFO, Tom Mashako. Again, hopefully you all had a chance to take a look at the release we put out at the close of the market yesterday afternoon. We'll spend a few minutes going through the results of the quarter. Maybe I'll just hit on a couple of the highlights for you from our perspective anyway. Certainly we're very pleased to have our third consecutive quarter of strong loan growth. We had a dry spell there up through the third quarter of last year, but now we've completed our third consecutive quarter of strong loan growth. So we're very pleased with that. And also pleased that this quarter we saw an expansion of net interest income for the first time in several quarters. So that was also a highlight for us and something we were very pleased to be able to report to you. In addition to that, growth in several of our non-interest income lines with one notable exception, and we'll talk about that. Jeffrey will talk about that in his remarks and in our plans there. The results were impacted slightly by some deal costs on the Nuvo transaction that was previously announced, and there will be some of those costs going forward here as well. We do remain on track at this stage to close in the fourth quarter. We filed our applications with the regulatory authorities of both the states, state of Vermont, state of Massachusetts, and with the FDIC, and are certainly looking forward to hearing back from them on that. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to turn it over to Tom. Tom will cover the highlights of the quarter for you, and then he'll in turn pass it on to Jeffrey, who will discuss the outlook for the remainder of the year. Tom.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning. The company reported earnings of $3.12 million and $6.45 million, or 49 cents and $1.02 per share for the 3 and 6 months ended June 30, 2015. Compared to $3.41 million and $6.82 million, or 54 cents and $1.07 per share for the 3 and 6 months of 2014. The company's book value per share continues to rise. At June 30, 2015, it was $20.35 compared to $19.89 at year-end 2014. As of June 30, 2015, compared to June 30, 2014, the company's ending loan balances increased by $77 million, or 6.85%. Average loans increased $33.1 million on a linked quarter basis, and $57 million from a quarter ending December 31, 2014. Total commercial loans grew 24% on an annualized basis, while at the same time our asset quality remained strong. Non-performing loans were 12 basis points of total loans, and accruing past due 31 to 91 days were 4 basis points of total loans at June 30, 2015. The continued loan growth resulted in the bank recording a $100,000 provision for loan losses for the second quarter. At June 30, 2015, the allowance for loan losses represent 1% of total loans. This is compared to 1% at December 31, 2014, and 1.1% at June 30, 2014. As you can see, the coverage ratio has remained strong. Our customer funding, defined as total deposits plus customer repurchase agreements, ending balances decreased by $19 million on a linked quarter basis and increased $65 million on a year-over-year basis. The decrease from the first quarter was due to the seasonal municipal cash flows. More importantly, non-maturity average deposits increased $22 million on a linked quarter basis and $98 million on a year-over-year basis, as time deposits mature and funds continue to flow into the money market accounts. Average deposits on a linked quarter increased $21 million, and the increase in commercial demand deposits outpaced the decline in time deposits. The net interest margin for the quarter was 2.95%. This is flat on a linked quarter basis. The stable margin is driven by lower interest earning cash of $36 million due to loan growth coupled with an increase in investment securities. The net interest income increased $200,000, $11.75 million from $11.55 million on a linked quarter basis. The non-interest income was $2.8 million in the second quarter of 2015 compared to $2.7 million on a linked quarter. The increase is due to steady growth in service charges on deposits and debit card income. Jeffrey will provide additional guidance on this growth. Total non-interest expense for the second quarter of 2015 was $10.34 million after excluding merger-related expenses of $143,000. This is a $336,000 increase from the first 3 months of 2015. The increase is attributable to higher compensation and benefit expense which was driven by a reduction in vacancies as well as higher health care costs, state franchise taxes, and non-recurring expenses. The company's efficiency ratio for the 3 months ended June 30, 2015, improved to 65.42%, down from 65.89% on a linked quarter. For the second quarter, the effective tax rate was 20%, compared to 21% on a linked quarter. I will now turn it over to Jeffrey Hesselink, President of Merchants Bank, to discuss the outlook for the remainder of 2015.
Thank you, Tom, and good morning, everyone. So just a little perspective on for the outlook. I'll remind everybody that we came into the year with several objectives. We wanted to grow our commercial loan business. We expected to increase our fee income. We expected to recognize operational benefits from investments we made in 2014. And last, we had hoped to identify an acquisition target that would provide us entry into a larger, commercially orientated market that had growth opportunity. And we felt that if we achieved these objectives, that our earnings would build throughout the year. So, you know, at the halfway point here, we're, with the exception of the overdraft income, we are pleased with our progress on all of these fronts. You've seen the numbers, very solid loan growth for the first 6 months, driven by the commercial segment as expected. As a point of clarification, the press release has a statement that the commercial loans grew 24%. Please know that that's an aggregate growth rate that considers the C&I segment, the commercial real estate segment, and the construction loan segment. That large majority of our construction loans are commercial. So it's the aggregate growth rate in those three segments over the first 6 months of the year annualized that will get you to that 24% number. So nice loan growth year to date. We do expect to grow over the balance of the year. We expect that growth will be in the commercial segment. That rate of growth will be slower in the second half of the year than it was in the first. So all of this bodes well for our net interest income. Michael told you we were able to grow it on a linked quarter basis. We see a favorable trend line there as we get the benefit of the loan growth in the first 6 months of the year. We get the full period benefit over the last 6 months. We have a favorable outlook on the net interest income. A little credit on the loan markets. They remain competitive. We're seeing intense competition on credit spreads, loan structures. No real change there. In addition to that, we are seeing elevated levels of merger and acquisition activity amongst our commercial customer base. I think it's pretty consistent with this point in this cycle. Frankly, company multiples are high. Prices are high right now. And some of our commercial customers are electing to sell their businesses. And that can and will have a negative impact on our loan growth. So moving to the non-interest income, great progress, we think, on the trust, the service charge, and the debit card income. Those are all tracking nicely. Expect that to continue over the second half of the year. Overdraft income has been a significant challenge for us. The overdraft volumes are well below expectations. The revenue miss there has been significant and material, frankly, to our earnings. It's been a major focus for us. We have recently made program changes that we expect will reverse the trend on the overdraft income. I expect it will grow over the second half of the year. We'll see some benefit in the third quarter and yet more benefit in the fourth quarter on that line item. In addition, we expect to start to recognize income from sale of residential mortgage loans in the second half of the year. So, you know, we have a favorable outlook on the non-interest income as well, with improvements in overdraft income, some gain on mortgage sale income. We've got a favorable outlook there. Non-interest expenses, you see the number, the pre-merger expenses for the second quarter ran a little higher than we had expected. There's some one-time and seasonal expense in there, and although we're not immune from that, no business is immune from one-time expenses. Major focus of our company is to get some operational efficiencies and expense controls. We do expect to be more closer to our guidance that we've given you on that non-interest expense number going forward. We have initiatives on a number of fronts that we think we're going to give us some operational efficiencies that will benefit us. So, you know, with that, I got to tell you, we are pleased with our position. We do expect the performance to build throughout the year, and we're actually quite optimistic about 2016 as well. If we have the core performance we expect out of our Vermont operation and get the Nuvo acquisition closed up sometimes this year and get the expected contribution from it, we feel like we are nicely positioned entering 2016. So I'm going to wrap there, pass you back over to Michael, and of course be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Tom. We are certainly happy to take questions at this point. Denise, if you have questions, now would be a good time.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. And our first question will come from Alex Twerdahl of Sandler O'Neill. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Alex.
Hey, first off, Jeffrey, I'm wondering if you could talk just a little bit more about the competitive landscape for commercial loans out there, and then maybe specifically about some of the things that Merchants has done over the last 6 to 12 months that have allowed you guys to compete a little bit better and contributed to the recent success in commercial loan growth.
Sure. I'll take it in inverse order there, Alex. So, and I saw your note last night, and you were right on with it. You know, we've changed the composition of our team, and frankly, I think we've made the team a bit stronger towards the end of last year. We changed our focus onto some of our more growth markets. That has accrued benefit to us, and from a pricing perspective, we had the, I think you recall, we had the capacity for some fixed-rate assets on our balance sheet, so we did some, we used that capacity in the commercial segment to pick up some relationships. So we had some, we offered some longer-term fixed-rate financings that were well-received in the marketplace. So, you know, overall, I think it's a good team doing a good job with the right focus, and that has helped us there. What are we seeing in the markets? It's what you see every time at this point in the cycle, Alex. Right? You see pricing that starts to get to a point where you have to question what the equity returns are. And we try to be disciplined there, right? We recognize that we need to be compensated for risk throughout all periods of the cycle. So we look carefully at those credit spreads and make sure we're hitting our return objectives. And then even more so, you're seeing competition on the structure, reduced or no financial covenants. A lot more non-recourse financing going on today than there was in the past. Extended amortizations, higher advance rates, all the stuff you'd normally see at this point in the cycle. And we don't compromise the credit. That's not going to happen here. So those things just present challenges to us. Look, we're delighted. The first 6 months of the year, we're able to manage those challenges and grow the thing nicely.
For the longer term loans that you've done, can you remind us, are those fully amortizing loans?
Yeah, that's it. And so, right, we have a mindful eye on duration and average life. So A lot of it, Alex, a bit 10-year fixed rate with 10-year amortization, a lot of, and some 12-year fixed rate and 12-year amortization. But, you know, it's been very disciplined on cash flow, right? The cash flow manages the credit risk and the interest rate risk. So we have not added a lot of duration in the loan portfolio because we have been focused on fully amortizing on deals.
Okay, thanks. And then, Tom, I missed what you said about the margin, the things that drove the margin this quarter to be flat, and then if you had any commentary on what you might expect for the margin to do in the third quarter.
We were able to put $36 million of really earning cash into loans and investments. We went out when we bought $24 million of investments this quarter at a rate that actually increased our yield on our investment portfolio from our average rate on our current existing portfolio. So both of those pieces really helped with all the additional loan growth we're having, even though in the competitive market, that has been able to maintain our margin. So if we can get a little more of our proceeds from our liquidity into the loan investment portfolio, I think our margin will stay pretty consistent, and that will, by our size, will just increase our net interest income going forward. Jeff, did you want to add something on that?
Yeah, the only thing I'd build on top of that, Alex, is remember this is a seasonal low point for us from a liquidity perspective in our municipal deposits, June 30. And those municipal deposits are going to grow $100 million between now and December. And so Tom's exactly right. If we can grow the loan portfolio and put that money to work, hopefully we can hold. We expect to hold that margin line. It's the ability to put that money to work. If that cash starts to build up, that will impact our margin. So, there's an expectation that we'll close the Nuvo transaction and. It would be our plan and intent to use some of our liquidity to grow that business and to fund that business differently than it is today. So there are a number of factors at play here in the last 6 months of the year, and I just wanted to alert you to some of them.
Great. And then my final question, you alluded to the guided range for expenses to be consistent with the guided range from last quarter. Is that around 10.2 per quarter for the rest of the year?
That's exactly right. That's a good number, Alex.
Great. Thank you very much for taking my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
And our next question will come from Matthew Breese of Piper Jaffray. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Matt Breese.
I'm doing great, thanks. Just going back to the loan portfolio, with the acquisition of Nuvo, what do you expect the growth trajectory to look like? Do you expect an acceleration or more of a maintaining of the current pace?
Okay, just to make sure I understand your question, Matt. Are you talking about what's our expected growth rate of the Nuvo, the Springfield business?
Right. Well, once they come online, you know, how do you expect your pace of loan growth to react?
Yeah, so, we like that company, that management team a lot. We like the market, so we expect to grow that Springfield business much faster than they were able to grow it alone. That's one of the benefits we think of that transaction offers us. So we would look for a more rapid growth rate than Nuvo's been able to accomplish on its own. Does that answer your question?
To some extent, yes. I guess I'm wondering how your outlook for the combined portfolio. Yeah.
The combined for 16. You know what? I would tell you that a 6-7% loan growth might be what we'd be looking for in 2016 would be a fair estimate for you there.
Okay.
So a faster rate of growth in Springfield and probably not able to sustain the rate of growth we've had this year in the Vermont operation.
Got it. Okay. And then one other thing, you know, you talked about, you know, service fees being more of a major focus. Can you talk about some of the changes that you made and you alluded to in your comments? And then Can you size perhaps the impact those changes might have, and where can we get that that revenue figure up to?
Specifically as it relates to the overdraft income?
Yes. Overdraft and service fees.
Yeah. So the outside of the overdraft income, the service charge income has behaved well, and it's actually growing nicely. You know what? That overdraft income was in the neighborhood of a couple $100,000 a month. As you can see, it's running much less than that now, down to maybe $140,000 a month. We expect to bridge that gap, Matt. We're not going to get all of, certainly in 15, we're not going to get all the way back to where we were, but we see it ramping directionally. We think we've hit the bottom on it, and we think we can bridge some of that. We think we can bridge some of that gap and end up somewhere in the middle on it.
Okay, and then just one final question. What do you expect the timing of the Nuvo acquisition? When do you expect it to close now?
So again, based upon what we know today, Matt, it's a Q4 event. To give you a specific date, I can't at this stage of the game. We'd certainly like to see it happen earlier instead of later in that quarter, and that's what we're pushing to try and make happen. But it's a little early yet for us to be able to put a final date on it. But our expectation and our plan is to get it closed as early in that quarter as we possibly can.
Understood. Okay, that's all I had. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. In showing no additional questions this morning, we will conclude the question and answer session. I would like to hand the conference back over to Michael Tuttle for his closing remarks.
Great. Thank you, Denise, and thank you all for joining us this morning. We appreciate your listening in and asking questions as well. We also appreciate, obviously, the interest in our company. We are pleased, as Jeffrey and Tom have said, we're pleased with our position here as we move into the second half of this year, and equally, if not even more excited about what we see the prospects are for 16 with the momentum we can gain in the second half of this year and the run rate coming out of this year into next year, together with our expectation at this point that we'll be closing on the Nuvo transaction as well. So a lot for us to be feeling good about on those fronts, and optimistic about what the next 6 to 18 months hold for us. We would love to see some help on the interest rate front, but we're not going to count on that. We're not going to expect that is going to happen to help us out. We're going to have to do this without any benefit there. If we get some, great. We'll be happy to take it when and if that happens. So we will look forward to speaking with you all after the third quarter and sharing the results at that time. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. To access the digital replay of this conference, you may dial 1-877-344-7529 or 1-412-317-0088, beginning at approximately 12 p.m. Eastern Time today. You will be prompted to enter a conference number, which will be 100-57191. Please record your name and company when joining. The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.